Hello and welcome to episode 11 of Cathan's Craft Collective. This week the blather is on relaxation. I have a review of the Cathan's Quilters and WRI showcase at WIC Gala. The textile technique is needle felting, and I tell you about the Vimp Donut. So get your craft in, your cup of tea, and I'll tell you what crack is in Cathan's this week. Firstly, the news. Well, what a debacle the last episode was. Now, I'm sorry if I annoyed anyone, and I am mega sorry to the six people who had to listen to the unedited version which was downloaded between 7:30 and 9:45, when I actually managed to take it off. I had been up to 1:30 the night before, because we've had company over the weekend, and I was trying not to be rude by ignoring them, but I didn't want to let you all down too. So I wheedled myself upstairs, Hobby explained what I was doing, and plied them with lots of red wine. And well, they were mildly interested, and well, yeah, I was a bit embarrassed. But I was trying to remember to be myself, not to apologise for it a la episode 1. So thought I'd edit it, loaded it up, and because we've got mega slow band, it takes a good 15 to 20 minutes to upload. Then I uploaded 60 photographs, which took another 40 minutes. But I did use the time wisely. I knitted whilst I was waiting. So I went to bed all smug and woke up thinking, uh-oh, I think I hit record when I was editing it, and I have a feeling Hobby said a rude word, and oh no, I'm down as clean in iTunes. I'll just give it a wee quick listen. I got 2 minutes in and I thought, eh? This isn't very well edited. I got 10 minutes in, realised it wasn't edited at all. And I got 50 minutes in and then cringed at me going, oh, that was rubbish, take that back to the beginning of that sentence, because that's what I do when before I edit it properly. So I remembered it asking me to save it, and I said no. Computer said no. So I took it off. But I was heading south that very morning to Oban and then to Glasgow, and being a security conscious type of girl, I didn't want to announce to the world while I was abandoning my house and my wool stash to anyone mean enough to get into the stash. So I just did say I couldn't do it until the Monday. So got home, had a lovely weekend, but on Monday, when I got home, I dutifully edited it, pressed save, and it crashed again. It didn't lose it, but it did save the edits. So does anybody else have that problem in Audacity? Can you tell me what the solution is, other than exporting it to MP3 every time I want to save something? Anyway, it was edited up and dutifully posted, and I hope you liked it. Personally, I will never listen to it again. So that's that. On to the competition. I am pleased to announce that Sandra from Litchfield had won the wool with her story of trying to teach her kids to go on a skateboard and falling off breaking her leg at the age of 43. She also admits to me that after wittering on about the Knit Pro needles, she realises that it is now knitting law to go and buy some. Did you know that it was knitting law? So, not only am I looking over your shoulder at what you're crafting, I send in the knitting police to make sure that you are using the correct equipment. Also, hello to my Puerto Rican listener, and the Germans, and the Irish, although that could just be Naomi on holiday. But if you are the Irish listener, please message me to discount you being Naomi. Unless you are a Naomi, not just the one I know, because I know that there are more than one. I've also had a right fiddle with Ravelry and now have a group. Dun 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 dun! It is Cathan's Craft Collective, originally, so if you fancy a bit of a banter with Sarah, head on over there and put her out of her misery, please. I have invited people that have messaged me previously so to join, but feel free to go and join and have a looky. I know I don't always message people regarding podcasts, but I prefer to lurk around and pipe up occasionally myself for other people's podcasts, so there's a good place to do it. I have noted on the Flickr pages that Sarah's photo has been viewed a few times. So, Sarah, have you been checking yourself out, or have you fans? She is super cool, and she does have me of one of her biggest fans. So, we have a Ravelry group. It's quite cool, huh? I have put on a couple of threads, and one is for introductions. I'd love to hear where you are and what you get up to. Also, suggestions for future blathers. I've put up that I'll send you a felted picture if I use your suggestion. It's kind of like a reward money if I get conviction. And we have quite a lot of suggestions already, but don't let that put you off. The more the merrier. Oh, and finally, put my head down here. There is a pause for effect here. I bought more wool when I was in Oban, and I had some given to me by my mother-in-law. It was like taking 3 sheep back up in the car. Now, she was very good to me this weekend. She looked after the bairns and she gave me wool, so you can't ask for more than that. I went to Whitmore and Hamilton in Oban, and I left a puddle of drool in there. I have in my stash currently two hanks of Colonnade Art Shade Mint, and I love it, but I never really knew what to do with it, because when I got it from there before, I had Daisy with me in the pram, and well, it was a bit rushed. I've only just managed to get back to Whitmore and Hamilton in Oban to see what else they had. So this time I went without family of any kind whatsoever, and I spent quite a while in there. I think the lady felt sorry for me as well, because I wouldn't shut up either. Now, I do love Elizabeth's Wool Shop in Thurso, but isn't it nice to go somewhere where they do other wool than what you normally get? It's kind of like going to a different supermarket, just for a change. So I purchased a pattern book for the art range, and also four hanks of art in a sort of pinky colour, orange colourway. And I've got buttons for my asymmetrical cardigan and some random buttons that I thought were pretty cool. Because I don't really buy buttons, so I thought, well, they're there, I'll get them now, and they're pretty funky. Also, as I said, my mother-in-law gave me a bag of hand-spun wool in beige and dark brown. And this was given to her as a gift, and it was a gift to her relation who gave it to her. So I'm hoping it's finally found a home with me. It is a bit old and fusty and a bit dusty, so any ideas how to freshen it up as it's in hanks just now? Do I tie it like it's to be dyed and wash it in a pillowcase? And I promise not to try and felt it. It's currently sitting with a bag of lavender on top of it. We went over the water again to Orkney, and this time we went on the John O'Groats ferry, which the price includes a bus trip return to Kirkwall. And it was grand because they do the whole tourist dialogue on the way up. And we managed to see the Italian chapel twice. We only went to see it once, but we managed to see it twice because we got on the wrong bus. Anyway, we had a brilliant lunch in the Smiddy Cafe Bistro, and I dumped the bairns again. Are you getting a picture here? Sorry, I'm a bad mother. We went to Judith Glue again for a lookie. It is pricey in there, but there's got some really lovely stuff. And I was looking for another hank of the North Ronaldsay wool that my pal Mari bought me a while back, but no joy. So I did get a blue chenille cone, so I'm going to put that together with the thin variegated cone I got from there previously and make a handbag. And then I found Tate and Style, which is down a wee lane right opposite the cathedral and two shops from Judith Glue. And I had walked past the billboard that tells you where Tate and Style is. And I remember walking past this billboard the last time I was in Orkney and cursing myself because I never made it. So, it's lovely. It's a wine and a wool shop. And how cool is that? You can get drunk and knit at the same time. That's if you're into that kind of thing, of course. Mate never touches stuff. They have an industrial embossing machine in there, and the lady was very kind and she showed me it when I showed an interest. They call it the Beast, and I was well impressed. Anyway, I spent some more money, a wee pack of felt, roving and threads and lace, which sort of all plasticked up. I think it's offcuts that they have, and I'm going to make a bag. And also two balls of chunky beige, which is a shiny thread going through it, which I think would make another lovely asymmetrical cardigan. However, all this wool went straight to my stash, and my thoughts are, which has been reciprocated by my mother, use it up before you buy any more. So I won't buy any more for a while, I promise. I do wish I was a faster knitter to get through it quicker. I was looking for something last night and today, and I thought, woo, I really do have quite a lot in there, I need to get through it. So coming up this week is my annual neighbour has moved in for his holiday. Now, you didn't know that I moved in these circles, did you? Prince Charles takes residence at the Castle of May for a week, and he does lots of engagements around the north of Scotland. And no, I don't know him. I don't even see him. All we see is a lot of police, because they don't use that road. But let him lash at it. I mean, he's busy all the rest of the year. On Saturday, 7th of August, he is due to be at the May Highland Games. Now, this is generally a game for the tourists looking to catch a glimpse of Charles and Camilla. That's if she comes up this year. And my husband is having a stand promoting the Scottish Power tidal devices planned for Dungansby Head. Not necessarily for Prince Charles to have a look at, but more for the locals to get into it and buy into it. Hopefully the weather is better than normal because it generally chucks it down. Anyway, happy holiday, Your Royal Highness. Do you knit? I know he's a painter. Well, he'll have plenty of inspiration for out his window from the castle because you do get a stupendous view from up there. Okay, on to the blazer. And this week's topic is relax. Hubby gave me this topic, so I'll not have to felt my picture because I've already done one, as it's holiday time in Britain. And, well, I did extreme stuff last time, so I've kind of gone for the opposite again. Obviously, the song is going to be Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood, and it has a very distinctive introduction and has been used recently for the advert for Virgin Atlantic's 25th anniversary. So, after all the work you do, day in, day out, how do you relax? Do you craft? Do you sport? Do you couch potato? Going on holiday is supposed to help you relax. After weeks of the toil and tense of working, you save up your hard-earned dosh and you go somewhere else to be on holiday. Obviously, you're all holiday in Caithness this year, but maybe next year you might wish for hotter climes and go south like the swallows. Then you sit on a beach for 2 weeks, soaking up the sun, generally not working, trying to keep the sand that you're knitting. However, this whole thing can be a stress in itself. Firstly, you have to find a suitable holiday, at a suitable price, going from a suitable airport, at a suitable date, to a suitable place, for a suitable time. And once all these suitables have been suited, it's time to pack your suitcase and go. Sorry, I thought all that suits were funny. Oh, never mention put your swimsuit in, or your tankini. Then you go to a busy airport, surrounded by stressed people, hoping that they'll have enough money and sun cream lotion to see them through 2 weeks. And they're all desperate to get on the plane first, and heaven forbid they elbow you out the way. Although they do seem to forget that there is quite a lot of time for boarding a plane, and well, it doesn't really leave until they're mostly all on it. Everyone is sitting down, seat-belted up, and being told the safety announcement that nobody listens to. And really, it's just not British not to queue. Actually, when we were in Orkney last week, we were in the queue for the ferry, the bus, the Italian chapel, and people were barging on, and our visitors started getting slightly unrelaxed. A bit of tutting went on, and then I realised, well, the other tourists weren't from around these parts. They were foreign. Now, don't take this the wrong way, my Puerto Rican, German, Irish, Canadian, and American, and Swedish listeners. I just mean they're not from Britain. And I realise that foreigners, mainly Europeans by my experience, don't queue. It's just something they don't do. They don't think it's rude for them to push in. That's just what they do in their culture. Where us Brits queue for anything and everything. I like to think of it as a hangover from the rationing days of the Second World War. So once I told my visitors, oh, they're foreign, they don't queue, they just don't mean anything by it, it's just the way they go. So it wasn't quite so unrelaxing then. Now, where was I? Holidays are a reflection of your personality too. If you go to far-flung, adventurous, expensive places, then you must have some adventure in you and obviously some money to pay for it. If you go on a city break, then you must be cosmopolitan and like the finer things in life such as museums and culture. If you go on a beach holiday, you must like the sun and been able to put up with lots of other families getting burnt wearing next to nothing that there's no way would be practical to wear at home or decent come to think of it. However, whatever floats your boat, whether you go abroad, stay in Britain, stay at home, as long as you relax from the endless grind that they call work, that's the ticket. I found a website about how to relax which actually seemed to speak the truth. It might be a bit touchy-feely to you, but I kind of liked it. First of all, think positively. Focus on the beauty in everything. 2. Give hugs. Caring touch has been proven to reduce stress and promote relaxation. 3. Avoid people that are constantly complaining or miserable. Stress can be contagious, so avoid transmitters. Understand that there's always a solution to a problem. 4. Avoid toxic people. Spend less time with people who try to guilt you into doing things or tell you that you're just not good enough. Yes, even if they're family. 5. Spend time with people who radiate warmth that you can truly connect with. Contact to positive thinking and joyous people broadens your capacities enormously and help you feel more relaxed and happy. And finally, stop feeling guilty. Guilt is a potential source of stress. Get rid of the source of stress by behaving yourself. Stop engaging in behaviours that make you feel guilty. Oh, hold on a minute. Does that mean if I feel guilty that I'm knitting too much or bought too much, that I'll have to stop doing that? I'm not so keen on that one. Just ignore that last one. But then it says stop feeling guilty. Ah, right, okay. That was me tying myself in knots there. So there you go, steps to relaxing. However, I'm sure all of you crafters out there will be smug in the fact that you already know how to relax on a daily basis. You pick up your chosen craft of the day and you start. You focus solely on your chosen piece and it gets bigger with every stitch or stroke or cut, that's your de-stressor. It is a medical fact that when you focus on something purely and utterly for what it is, then your blood pressure lowers and your breathing is even, which relaxes you and keeps you healthier. You obviously have to be careful that you're sitting correctly and taking appropriate breaks, not stressing about the deadline that you've so stupidly given yourself, but the medical boffins have recognised that the benefits of doing an all-encompassing pastime such as cross-stitch knitting, embroidery, painting, podcasting, etc. Of course, it makes perfect sense to us smug crafters, but well, it's nice to be proved right once again, isn't it? Craft is good for you. Fact. So, this week's textile technique is on needle felting. I love needle felting. This is a brilliant stress relief if ever there was one. I found you a cool tutorial on www.craftster.org and it's in the forum, but I'll have the link in the podcast notes. Now, what you need is a sturdy sponge to poke your needle into, wool roving, which is wool fleece that has been carded and it's nice and smooth, and a felting needle. These are evil and you can get holders for them. Some have safety features, but you also should have plasters on hand because generally everybody stabs themselves at some point. This is not a craft for a toddler. Now, the needles are generally shaped in a triangle shape and mostly have a barb at the end, which this fuses the roving together to form the felt. I generally use one, but I don't use a holder. I do have a holder, and if you're doing a big piece, you use more than one in the holder. Oh, and you require imagination. So, you take a wee drop of your wool roving, say about the size of your palm and your hand, and then you lay it on the sponge in the shape of some sort. But don't put your palm or hand in, because otherwise you will stab yourself and need the plaster. So say if you're doing a flower corsage, if you make the in a shape of a petal. You can also use like a biscuit or a cookie cutter, which keeps the roving in shape. For instance, a flower. So poke the needle down into the wool roving and through into the sponge a little way, and then keep poking it and it will start to fuse together. It's like stabbing motion, down and down and down and back and up. Turn it over once it has started to fuse together, or you may fuse it to the sponge. There is no may here, because you will, I have, and I know everybody else has too. It generally comes together pretty quickly, and then you can make more petals, and then you attach them together by more poking of the needle. No sewing for you if you don't have to. You just put one on top and then you stab it and it sticks together. Now this is where I mean it is relaxing, because you can be quite vicious with it. Say if you've had a bad day, you can imagine you're taking out your frustration on this poor wee defenceless piece of wool and sponge. Made you feel bad now, didn't I? Oh, it's great fun. Now you can get kits on eBay for about a tenner, or you can knock up a lot of corsage for your wool roving. Obviously, you will then add buttons or beads or ribbons or materials and a fastening at the back. I saw some in Orkney for about £6 each, and I know that's not how much they cost to make. Mind you, if you take in the time considerations, well, I suppose. Anyway, the world's your oyster then. You'll never be stuck for a wedding corsage again, because if you like crafted corsage rather than flowers, once you've mastered the technique of felting a shape, try making a wee ball in the roving, because this is what the tutorial shows you to do. And you do this by getting a hand-sized amount of roving, squidging it down into a ball and holding with one needle and stabbing it with another. These can be then made into necklaces or bracelets or medals of corsages for bags or lapels. Needle felting is generally for smaller objects. You wouldn't really make a handbag using this technique, but it's handy for decorative items. You can needle felt a separate shape, or you can felt this shape directly onto material. Or even use a polystyrene shape, cover them with the wool roving and then needle felt them into the polystyrene shape. I'm going to do a Christmas wreath this year using this technique. It's very easy once you have the knack, and it's good fun to do, especially when you can machine or hand embroider over the top of it. So go on, you know you want to. Right, on to what I've been doing. Well, apart from visiting, not much. I've nearly finished the sleeves on the Debbie Bliss V-necked cardigan. I was knitting them on the same needle to make sure that they're the same size, and I was using the same ball of wool, and I took it with me down the road, because I'm a very lucky person, I don't get travel sick. Although my two small children do, and it stunk coming home. However, I'll not complain. I had taken it down the road, but wasn't it the only ball of wool that I didn't have a spare for? Aye. So I got to the end of the ball, and I've got 2 centimetres to knit on each sleeve. So I've also picked up the Clickety Clack baby cardigan and put the sleeves in stitch holders, and I've done 3 pattern blocks. I thought I'd made a wee mistake because I thought the eyelets weren't right, but I've corrected that, and I don't think I've got enough of this wool left. I looked out another bit of this wool upstairs. There's a wee peedy ball, but I don't think I've got enough. So I shall be on the internet to Ethernet yarns again. Darn, I'll have to buy another ball of wool. And more people I know are having babies, so I have more baby things to knit. What a bind. All that wool and just not enough time in the day. I have also managed some sewing. I rattled up some lavender cushion thingies. I'd say bags, but they aren't really like bags, they're more like little cushions. But I can't remember the correct name for them just now. I bought a kilogram of lavender seeds online for making up little drawers, smellies, to dispel the moths. I know I said I was going to do some textile arts, but I've not really had much time for it being away, and believe it or not, I've had to do the accounts as well, so I've not managed my time correctly. And then I thought, well, I did say I was promising you that I would do some, but my heart wasn't in it. I thought, well, it's going to be forced and I won't enjoy it, so I'll attempt to do it for the next time with some enthusiasm. I did make it to the assembly rooms in Wick on Wednesday, and I had a lovely look around the showcase of Caithness Quilters and Caithness WRIs. Every year they have a bit of a coffee afternoon and they put a display of their work from the year. I will have some photos on Flickr. So if you go to caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com and scroll to the bottom right, and then you'll find all the pictures there, and it'll show you all the pictures that I've mentioned ever. Now, I got my tea and my cake, and I handed my children to my mother, who chased them around the hall and she went doolally, and then I took some photographs of all the work. And also I gassed away with my textile artist friends. They had elephants on display that I had made for the Walk on the Wildside challenge with the Highland Quilters a few months ago. And some of the Nelly the elephants were for sale. The pink leather one is brilliant, but she wasn't for sale. Daisy loved these and she kept going back to look at them. And there was a king-size Christmas quilt on display that the chair lady had made, and she said it had taken her all year. She had only intended to make a few panels, but as it grew, she was enjoying it and it finally became a quilt. I admire the way she's placed these panels around the quilt because they're not all symmetrical, and I think it must take an instinct to place them such as, because I don't think I have that. Dorothy's winning stag quilt was there and surrounded by other Walk on the Wild Side entries as well, and they were lovely. And then there were bags and cushions and panels of animals and quilts, some finished and some in progress, which is actually very good to see how it progresses and is put together. And the WRI were doing the raffle and the coffees and the cakes, WRI cakes, stupendous. And they had there was no pancakes, couldn't be that stupendous. Markle obviously weren't there. They had a wonderful display of their work, and I was handed a flyer inviting me along to any WRI in Caithness. So if you want to know, message me and I'll tell you where and I'll tell you when. It does have a very old-fashioned image, the WRI, but, well, so does knitting. And does that stop us? No. There are plenty of youngsters in there if you fancy a lookie, so go for it. There was also a display of the Linus quilts, as Valerie is the North of Scotland coordinator for these. Now, for those not in the know, Linus quilts are small child-sized quilts which are given out by ambulance drivers for a child who has been treated. The name Linus comes from a character from Charlie Brown and Snoopy's Peanuts Gang. Remember the one that drags his comfy blanket around with him? And as a mother of a child who has a comfort blanket, I can relate to this point. Also, my Sandy has received one of these Linus quilts from a trip to Raigmore in the ambulance to Inverness. And I think, well, he was too little to fully appreciate the sentiment behind it all, but it made me cry, and I got a lot of comfort from the fact that somebody out there wanted to donate their time to comfort a child and a mother in distress. You don't always hear of the receiving side of charity, really, do you? So if you've ever donated a Linus quilt from this mother, thank you. Sandy's fine now, by the way. We are quite excited in our house just now, as our own holiday is coming up soon. We are visiting family down in Horley, near London. Obviously, I'm not going to tell you time because you'll be in amongst my stash and I'm not having that. And we're flying with the bairns, but no dog, from Inverness to Gatwick. We are planning on going to Legoland, the British Museum, and maybe the zoo. Basically, getting a train will be excitement enough for my two. So we're heading down there and hoping to have a relaxing time. Although, I really think I should email all the passengers on the plane to let them know that my Daisy will be on the plane. I apologise in advance if that is you. I will be the parent walking a very cute but mad toddler that probably will scream up and down the plane aisle the pained look on my face. I won't be buying any more yarn after the past few months' expenditure, but I'll hopefully get a look in Hobbycraft and Horley for some buttons, because, well, they're not that big, and they're not yarn. Right, thank you very much for listening. If you want to contact me, please do so on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt or KaithnessCraftCollective@googlemail.com, or leave a comment on the Podbean webpage. Also, this week's music is Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Relax, also Relax by Boneless Children Foundation from MusicAlley.com. So thank you for listening, and keep on crafting.